Mick and MJ in the morning, brought to you by Sportsbet. Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet. Listen up, Sydney. There's a new kid in town. Mick Molloy has come to play with the big boys. And there's no bigger boy than the King of the West, the Wild Panther, MG. So buckle up. This is going to be one hell of a ride. Mick and MG in the morning. What could go wrong?
Thought we'd start by acknowledging what an outrageous success once again St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
It's a rare occasion to get out and celebrate Irish culture. And by Irish culture, I just mean getting bolotto on green beer. Mm-hmm. They're still out there this morning, I believe. I saw some on the way to work.
Yeah, I came into work this morning at 4 a.m. and I thought, why are people outside? There's a very famous pub, Scruffy Murphy's.
Scruffy Murphy's, yeah.
Spent many of my younger years there. And I'm thinking, why are people lining up? And I thought, oh my gosh, they're still partying through.
What a great event. Mm. What a great thing to do, get out and drink green beer all day.
Yep.
I just think it's one of the great days on the calendar. I was thinking about this too. How good is Guinness? So Guinness has no absolute rival. So even Coke has Pepsi.
Yep.
All right, the Stones had the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
But they have an absolute monopoly. So when it comes to covering St. Patrick's Day, no one even goes, oh, what are you going to do, have a Guinness or the other popular stout? They just go, get on the Guinness.
Yes.
What a rare thing, what an outrageous success that is to not have. Look, name me another stout.
Not like that, and not in that proportions. I reckon I put on 5 kilos when I was in Ireland.
Yes.
Apparently, it's the equivalent. They told me, the Irish told me, it's a baked dinner. It's so much in it.
What? Really?
Yeah, I put on 5 kilos in Ireland. It was the liver. It just
exploded. Do you like a Guinness? Do you like the taste of Guinness?
It's a rare one for me. It's a rare one. I don't mind. Again, it's like, you know, some drinks taste better when you're in that country.
Yes.
If you're in Singapore, a gin is brilliant.
Mm. Yep.
You know what I mean? And there's usually a cultural reason for it. If you're in the tropics, a pina colada.
Pina colada.
It tastes better.
Yes.
But I find if you're in Mexico,
Corona.
A tequila or a Corona is a beer you'll just go to. But when in Rome, as they say, or in this case Scotland, Guinness wins the day. What else do you know about Irish culture?
I don't know much about Conor McGregor. I know that
Conor McGregregor. There was some kind of potato famine.
Yeah, you too.
You too. Who chased the snakes out of Ireland? Was that St. Patrick?
I don't know. Was it?
It was.
Yeah.
Right, they were all pissed. They're all pissed. You see, St. Patrick, he's got a big stick and he's just chased all.
Do you know I've only had Guinness once in my life, and that was at the Guinness factory in Dublin.
I went to the Guinness factory.
How good is it?
That's my Willy Wonka.
Did they ask you to leave?
They did. They threw me out. They said, last drinks, Mr. Molloy. I'll tell you what else I know. The paddy wagon is named after the Irish who used to get so drunk. Yeah, wow. The cop car used to be called the paddy wagon as a way of taking paddy home.
Did not know that.
Bring around the paddy wagon. It's been educational this morning.
It has.
Well, I'll give you some more education. 2.4 million pints across the nation were downed in celebrations for St. Patrick's Day yesterday. So,
congratulations,
well
all.
Yes, well done,
Aussies.
And a busy weekend in Sydney comes to a close. One of the highlights has to be the Sydney Skinny.
Yes.
It's been my second year so far exposed to this. The world's largest annual nude swim held over the weekend at Cobblers Beach, aptly named. Show us your cobblers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cobblers Beach in Mossman, of all places. I don't want to see the naked people of Mossman. If it was Bondi, I'd be there in a flash. But you know, I don't think they need to do that in public, do they?
Next year is going to be at Penrith Beach.
Oh,
now we're
talking. Why is it not transferred? Penrith should apply to get the license. They should poach the event from Mossman.
I'm going to join the committee and get it there next year.
Who was down there? It is, Tash, were you there?
No, I wasn't.
Yes, you were.
Hundreds
you were
of
there.
People attended the event, and it's raised more than $50,000 for charity, which is fantastic. And local Facebook page called Mossman Collective actually interviewed some of the locals who were participating. Have a listen.
There's nothing better than, you know, than getting naked in front of several hundred other people.
How old are you, sir?
78.
And how do you feel after that swim?
48. Any event without clothes is always wonderful. Sydney Skinny's always been one of those bucket list events for me. I see the smiles on people's faces. It's a really good feeling. It's good for the soul.
Smiles, yeah, I've seen the pictures. Right? It doesn't look that skinny to me. Just, which is the problem with nude beaches. It's everyone you don't want to see nude. Yeah, exactly. I'd have more respect if you went for a nude swim, not at a nude beach.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And yes. Not at the Sydney Skinny. Go down to Bondi today and just take your togs off and jump in.
Is that illegal?
Yes. Go down. No. Yeah, who cares? Go down to Penrith Beach. Go down to Bondi. Go down to Penrith Beach and get your cags out.
Oh.
Your cags out.
And you will win my... Advantage. How's this? You're not allowed to go and watch. Did you know that?
Yes. Oh, that's for the best.
Yes, it is. You have
spectator
to be.
Sport, surely.
No spectators allowed.
I told you this before, but in Melbourne, there was a beach down in Mount Eliza, Sunnyside Beach. It's called Sunnyside. It's a bad name for it.
Great name.
It was a nude beach, and you weren't allowed to go to the beach unless you were naked. So we used to get a tinny and drive it round and park it like about 10 metres just off the beach line and get the binocs out.
Oh,
I can't remember.
How long ago was that?
Last week.
Anyway, well done to everyone down there. No sharks, but lots of white pointers.
Oh. Yeah.
What else was big in Sydney over the weekend?
Oh, on Friday, there was a busking fight outside of Myer.
So the Busker Wars.
The Busker
so
Wars.
So what happened? Tell me what happened. It was someone got there and started busking, and another busker blew up.
Yeah, so Miss Tong's an opera singer. She's got a lovely voice. She'd started her set. Yep. And have I not pronounced that right? Tasha's looking at me weird.
I'm just laughing.
Okay.
That this is
perfect.
Mrs. T, we'll call
it. Miss T was busking, and then another bloke rocked up and went, no, stop. It's my turn. This is how the confrontation went down between them.
Okay, you're in the wrong because maybe you didn't know, but the way it works is that buskers leave their stuff where the seats are.
But is there someone who set up these kind of rules?
Yeah, buskers, we negotiate with ourselves.
There is no such thing as a written rules, right?
Yes,
you can
not
do
all
it.
Rules are written down. No, but you just don't understand what's going on. Do you understand what's going on?
Wow.
Okay, he was a violinist, right?
Yes, yeah, he was a violinist.
He's in the
too much attitude. You're too much attitude. You'd never get that from a bongo player. Cheerboats. He's got his violin under one arm and he thinks he's the biggest. So his argument was, I got here earlier and marked it with my stuff down.
Yeah. There's some I don't
agree with that. It's like when you go, and this is one of my pet hates, when you're at a resort or somewhere
towels?
And people go and put their towels on a banana lounge and then go back to bed.
Hate that.
Or then go, so they get down there early, and then you go and take it and you go, hey, man, my towel was here. Yeah, but you weren't.
You weren't.
Yeah. You weren't. You don't get to, it'd be like, you know, we talked about this the other day, standing in front of a car park.
Yes. Yep. I agree.
And saying, no, there'll be, my car is coming along soon.
In 10 minutes.
You don't get to bags it.
No bagsies. No bagsies at all.
You don't get to do it. I love it when the busking wars flare up. What's your favourite type of busker?
Harmonica.
Harmonica, you're an old traditionalist. What do you call it? What's his name? Bob Dylan harmonica. That's what I like. The one man band's good if you've got a cymbal strapped to your knees, a drum on your back.
Yeah. I like the bloke on the unicycle, like swallowing swords. You know, there's always one at Darling Harbour. Yes.
We love an element of danger.
Yep.
Don't we?
Magic show that goes horribly wrong.
Oh, yes.
Okay, you're done. magic, no magic.
MG Sport Report. Yeah, round two is in the bags. What a couple of big events we've seen over the weekend. The two things, I suppose, that stood out for mine was Xavier Coates' try. A lot of people are saying it's the best try they've ever seen in their life. For him to do that was simply remarkable. This is how
also to win
down.
Them the game too. It wasn't like it was just in ordinary play. It was like on
10 seconds
knock,
to go.
10 seconds to go. Everything on the line, and out comes one of the most spectacular tries I've ever seen.
Hughes, Pezzett, Pappenhausen, Remus Smith. He goes to maybe a coach. Can you believe it? He's 6 feet in the air.
That's the best try I've ever seen.
Yeah, wow. I agree with Mick Ennis. I think it's the best try I've ever seen. I've never seen a more spectacular or extravagant try. It was just the way he contorted his body was just simply remarkable. And he got the ball down about a millisecond before his right hand hit the ground. So it was fantastic. The other big
only two rounds in, buddy. Where do you have the Storm in your preseason? You had him out down there at number 6 or 7. You're reevaluating that?
Well, they've won their last two games, Mickey, without their best back or best player in Cameron Munster and one of their best forwards in Nelson Osofa Solomona. So they're gritty. They're showing a lot of grit this year. And talk that Nelson is a bit on the nose in Melbourne and he'll have to come back through reserve grade probably pinpoints the fact that they're a club on a roll. I really love what they're doing. And the other talking point happened here on Triple M on Thursday night after the Broncos took on the Rabbits, and it was Latrell Mitchell's post-match interview, which we'll play right now, and then have a bit of a chat about it to see what we think about it.
It's all right, mate. Look, honestly, it was shit in the first bit. Just a hard game. We showed what we were about, and honestly, they're big boys. They're competitors. You know, wonder why they come, you know, runner-up last year. So they're building on that. I don't care if I'm swearing, boys, honestly. But I'm very happy. Scored 100 tries. So there's something to celebrate there. That was my 100th, so.
Well done.
Yeah, everyone have a
right, well,
thank you, mate. Thanks,
joking,
all right.
We'll... Okay, right, enough stories now, you follow.
Yeah, okay, thank you, Latrell.
Well, let me first say...
Did that go to air unbeeped for the first time?
Yes.
Yes, it did. So it was live. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. That was live.
What's your take on this?
Look, I love a swear word. I don't mind saying it. I don't mind saying the F word, and never bother me. But to say it as many times as Latrell did in such a short interview, usually you see footballers on any code, the word comes out, they go, oh, sorry. You know, it was in the heat of the moment. You got the microphone.
You can tell.
Yeah, but that was
premeditated. It was premeditated. He knew what he was doing.
Yep.
And he, for whatever his motivation, he was either thought he was being smart or he'd been dared by his mates or whatever. Well, what's your take?
I think it was a bit of an up yours to the hierarchy, to be honest. I've never seen or heard anyone with so many expletives in such a short interview. 30 seconds of interview and you've dropped 5 F-bombs and... That, you're right, Mick. I don't think that was a mistake. He should have at least copped a fine. He will not face any sanctions for his explosive interview here. And Abdo, CEO Andrew Abdo, is however seeking an urgent meeting with Latrell over the interview and to see exactly what went down. But yeah, look, it's one of them things when, you know, Latrell is whether he likes it or not, he's a role model, and a lot of other kids on the weekend would have went out and unfortunately on footy games and started swearing their heads off because Latrell did it. So
I don't understand what point he's trying to make.
Me either.
It doesn't offend me personally. But
no, me either.
There are broadcasting rules. Everyone understands them. You've got an obligation as a player to be part of a post-match interview.
Yep.
As I said, doesn't bother me. I can understand people being a bit pissy at him. Did you ever drop the magic in a post-match interview?
Yes, I did. I did. A couple of times.
What happened to you? Do you remember the occasion?
I think it was a grand final that we lost in 1990.
You get a pass for a grand final.
Yeah, and I just you said, get oh, a pass that's the effing worst feeling I've ever
did
had
you
in my
do
life.
It? Did you do it deliberately, or was
no,
it just...
No, just come out. It just come out.
You do it. Like sometimes you just do it. Carried away at the moment. That wasn't right. One of those moments.
That wasn't
all moment. Right, good work, buddy. And we are back live. Latrell had a bad day at the office. Is that the best way you can say it? In a post-match interview, came up with this.
It's all right, mate. Look, honestly, it was shit in the first bit. Just a hard game. We showed what we were about. And honestly, they're big boys. They're competitors. You know, wonder why they come, you know, runner-up last year. So they're building on that. I don't care if I'm swearing, boys, honestly. But I'm very happy. Scored 100 tries. So there's something to celebrate there. That was my 100th, so.
Well done.
Yeah, everyone having a good but anyways.
Right, well, thank you, mate. Thanks for that.
It's a bad day for the panel op at Triple M as well.
It's a bad day at the office all round. Got us thinking, have you had a bad day at the office? 133353. I'd like to mention the snake hunter who got bitten by the tiger snake. That's a bad day at the office.
That's shocking.
When your primary job is hunting snakes and one turns around and honks right on, in this case a tiger snake, this bloke is lucky to be alive. So you don't hear of many fatalities, but if you get bitten by a tiger snake or a brown, king brown, anything like that, you're in a bit of a sticky situation. You are fighting for your life. And this bloke, he's a big, fit man, has taken to ICU, and it was borderline there for a while. The bite occurred when his equipment broke.
Oh.
So he's probably done this 100 times. He gets out there, and he's got the bit where he's pulling the snake up the wire, and it's broken, and the snake's gone, well, I've seen an opening. I'm a tiger snake. Oh. What do you expect? What do you expect me to do? Honk. The rest is history.
Yes.
I mean, wow. That'll ruin your day. That
snakes.
Will.
Oh, wow.
I told you I've been bitten by a snake in Vanuatu.
Yep. You did.
I was drunk and I went to pick the snake up. I was showing off in front of a whole heap of international types. I said, I'll show you how an Aussie bush legend catches a snake. And I went down to, make the pincer movement, grabbing the snake by the head.
Yeah. Oh.
Bang. Bang. Got it just where I wanted it. Wrong end.
Wrong.
How did that work out for you? Did you go to hospital?
I got bitten about 15 times, thankfully, by a non-venomous snake. Yes. No venomous snakes in Vanuatu, as I found out.
And that snake would have been blind after that.
Yes, well, I did ask a few people to suck the venom out. All right, calm down. Who else has had a bad day at the office?
ScoMo. ScoMo's farewell dinner was canned because of lack of attendees, and then to rub salt in.
Hang on. This guy, this is the bloke. Was he performing there? Or?
Well, I think that's why. He said.
So he had a farewell dinner at the Shire.
Yep.
Invite only and no RSVPs.
Oh, no.
Well, no, that's why he canned it. It was supposed to be a Sutherland Shire. That's what you're saying. Yeah, perfect.
And what else happened?
Well, then he was at the footy with his beloved Sharkies, and over the PA, they announced over the loudspeaker at Shark Park that Scott Morrison was officially not the number one Cronulla Sharks ticket holder anymore. So he's got the double.
He's had a bad day at the office. No one's coming to your party, and we want our number one ticket back.
That's shocking.
We've all had bad days at the office, none more so than Natasha Belling. Oh. And here's just a couple of highlights of Tash getting it wrong.
Facebook founder winning a gold and silver medal at his first jiu-jitsu. Now let's check Sydney's weather.
Constipated and struggling to poo, Caruso's constipation ease to the rescue.
Checking Sydney's weather details.
Mate, Tash, did you forget about the news? Tash, turn your mic on.
Struggling to poo.
Mate, did you forget about the news? Are you serious?
I was talking to Dr. Chris Brown about who was in the jungle.
In one job.
And just by listening to Mick and MG in the morning, you could win a summer holiday for four at Bangalay Luxury Villas on Triple M.
Wow. Who comes to work as ill-prepared as that? Oh. I don't think in my time I've ever been involved in anything on air as remotely stupid as that.
Oh, I don't know. I reckon I've got one here of you questioning with Olivia Newton-John, and I would definitely suggest you have not done the appropriate research.
Hang on. This isn't the Kinnicky thing, is it?
Yes, it is. This is.
You know, you've taken this out of context.
I haven't. Have a listen to the most awkward question on earth.
You lost a cast member this week, did you, from Greece?
Jeff,
yeah.
I don't know that he has passed
away. Oh, pardon me. I may have gone. I may have called it too. No, he's very unwell.
He's very ill.
Sorry, pardon me.
No, he was married to my sister, and she's been in there, and he's not doing very well.
Okay, sorry to hear that.
Good Lord.
I think he's since gone, hasn't he?
In my defence, I was proved right.
Eventually.
And I was the first with the news.
You're breaking the news.
You did break it.
Oh, Lord.
I was ahead of the curve.
Mick Whaley.
Once again. Andrew's on the line. Andrew, he had a bad day at the office?
Yeah, I was accused of falling asleep at my desk and in meetings. I then took it to the union and everything, but then actually found out that I had a very, very, very badly undiagnosed sleep apnea and was falling asleep on the floor.
Oh, you poor
So in your defence, you had a condition that meant you fell asleep.
Yeah, pretty much.
Are you on
that would have been funny.
Hey?
Are you on the CPAP? No? Like, is that what you're on there?
Yeah,
on the
CPAP. What I thought was me struggling from glare was actually micro sleep.
Wow.
I'm having a micro sleep during this phone call, to be honest. Thanks, Andrew. Steve's on the line. Steve, you had a bad day at the office?
Yeah, guys, I'm a teacher, so I was sitting there and I was putting stuff up on the walls and I put something in the middle of the room and I stuck my head in a fan. Oh. I chucked a few Latrells around and then started bleeding on over the kids.
Oh. Hang on.
The fan.
So you're pinning stuff on the walls and you got up to do it and you hit your head on a ceiling fan.
A ceiling fan in the middle of the room, yeah.
Ah, the kids would have loved that.
It was pretty funny.
Did they laugh a lot?
Oh, they laughed a lot after wiping blood off their faces.
Give him a prize.
You've got $250 yeah, cash from work, scene. Well done, Steve.
Nice one.
Well done, Steve. We need to address a Sydney story that's piqued my interest, Natasha Belling.
This is on the front page of the Daily Telegraph this morning in an exclusive. The details of this are pretty disturbing, just a warning, but it is an extraordinary story. So we've got a Sydney man has actually been fined $1,500 for interfering with a corpse. Now,
okay.
I'll unpack the story for you. He was his brother was dead, and the brother was claiming he wanted to prove that his brother's son, his nephew, wasn't the brother's legitimate son.
Oh,
The sole heir.
Yes, to the will inheriting the money. So he broke into the funeral home, got the locks to the keys to the coffin, broke into the coffin, and cut off his brother's ear. And then took it home and put it in his freezer to use his DNA to prove that the son wasn't legitimate.
So what's the problem with this story?
Yeah, what's wrong?
So what crime has actually been committed?
Who wouldn't do that?
Do you know what? That's better than I understood it. I thought it must have been like an open casket. just flown past the coffin and gone, yoink, and snapped off an ear.
No.
Imagine and that. So what's happened? And what's he? He's been fined, has he? How much?
And do you know what? He got away with it. But then how they busted him is he actually then admitted it to the funeral home people that he'd actually broken in and had taken the guy's
ear. Yeah, but what he got fined? $1,500?
He got $1,500, but he's appealed the decision claiming the sentence is too severe.
I only took one ear.
He doesn't need it.
I mean, honestly, there's a guy. Exactly. It's not going to affect him. Come on. What? Who wants that money badly enough that you're going to... I don't expect any money from my brother.
Oh, no.
Who's got kids. So he wanted them. Did he? So he's not going to get the money?
Well, apparently...
Did they say? Did he find out if it? If
we,
he's...
We don't know that, but there wasn't a valid will from the dead person, so...
Go get your will done, everybody.
Yes. Otherwise, you're losing ears.
There's nothing more undignified than the squabble over an estate after someone's dead, especially between family members.
You see it all the time, though. I've heard of this. People putting stickers on things around their parents' house to claim it.
Oh, that's vultures,
not while they're still alive.
While they're still alive and just going around almost like an art gallery, you know, when they put a sold sticker on stuff and going around and putting stickers on stuff to claim it as their own.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go around to, next time at your houses.
Yep.
I'm just going to casually sticker up a few.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Tash, I better get to you quickly because this could be any day.
What the f*** is going on?
God, you are dumb.
What the f*** is wrong with you?
Making MJ's What the
f***? WTF?
Big W is under fire for selling an at-home tattoo kit.
What the f***?
Yeah.
Is this only in America or what?
No, it's here. I don't think that's the smartest idea. Even kids can buy this.
Oh, my God.
My boys, I mentioned that. See, they've got to be quiet. A bit quiet. Better go down and see what's going on down there. Excuse me, Lenny, do you have a face tattoo?
I'm Mike Tyson, Daddy, look.
Well, that's the type of thing they would do and think was hilarious.
Of course they would.
Oh, I'm not sure that's the smartest thing I've seen.
No.
Here's a tattoo kit. Take it home, do it yourself. That's got awesome. Drunken night in.
Oh.
Imagine that over lockdown.
Oh, wow.
That's come out looking like a Maori chief. You can't be doing that.
You can't
be
doing
that. By the way, nothing says quality like a backyard tattooist. Oh. Now you don't have even to go to prison. It's for people who are, what do you call it, from home?
Working from home?
Restricted from home. Yeah, now you can just get your tats. MJ, what do you got? Home detentions, Fraser. By the way, when was home detention ever a punishment? Exactly. Oh, I would love some home detention. How good would that be? Hang on a second. What are you saying? I'm not allowed to leave the house. I just have to lie here all day on the couch in my underpants watching sport on telly?
Oh, no.
What's that, honey? Pick the kids up from school? I can't. I can't even put the bins out. Why?
I've got an anklet on. I've got an anklet.
It sounds good, doesn't it?
It sounds great.
Yes, MJ.
Out of the millions of creatures on Earth, only three species have the capability to laugh.
What the f***? Okay, don't tell me. I'll get you. Kookaburra?
No.
Well, Kookaburra, sit in the old gum tree, Mary King, laugh, Kookaburra, laugh. So what are you saying?
So
that song's bullshit?
Humans are one, chimpanzees are the other, and you won't believe what the third species is.
Shark.
No. And it's not hyena.
Wombat.
No, it's a rat.
A rat can laugh.
No, that's not
true. A rat can laugh.
True.
Why? Shut up, MG. I'm not buying that.
Where's that from?
Pardon?
Where's that from?
Fact checkers are not coming for you.
You know why? Because the fact checkers are out of my league. I go above and beyond the fact checkers. I go deep into what the...
What your mate
the
spook.
after a big night in the Terps.
Rats.
We'll wait for verification on that. Kat, what have you got?
Authorities have confiscated a 340-kilogram alligator that a man was keeping in his family pool.
What the f***?
Yep.
But people weren't swimming in the pool.
No, the kids were. Yep. No, and
he's blind.
Well, the alligator's blind, yes. Yeah. But, I mean, it can still bite. And the kids were swimming in the pool, and finally authorities went, this doesn't seem safe.
That'd be a good way to get me out of a pool bar.
Alligator.
Release the alligator. I told you in Bali, I spent so long in a pool bar, I think it was about 6-7 hours, that when I got out, the barman had to put my shoes on and tie up the laces.
How did you get out of the pool?
That's a good day.
Yeah, it's a whole nother story.
How'd you go to the toilet?
Oh, yeah.
Well, how do you think?
Yeah.
I'll just
put it this way. When I got out, that's the first time I'd got out over the 6 or 7 hour journey.
Horrendous.
That's what chlorine's for, anyway.
You worry about that. Tash, what have you got?
Russian President Vladimir Putin has won the Russian election.
Oh no!
No, was it close?
It would have gone down the wire.
He won almost, I think, 80 or 90% of the vote.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, jeez.
I know, there's a bombshell.
Wayne's on the line. Blow my mind, Wayne.
Do you know if you eat too many apple seeds, you can die because apple seeds contain arsenic?
What the f***?
Well, I didn't know that.
I'm guessing that's how Johnny Appleseed died. Yeah? Arsenic poisoning. I'm getting a thumbs up.
Yep. Oh, my goodness. That's a great fact.
I'll tell you who I couldn't get a thumbs up from. Arctic explorer Aranu Fiennes. Do you see that?
No,
he had to saw his own fingers off.
What?
Bit of frostbite. He's released an autobiography talking about all his polar expeditions. He got a bit of frostbite, so he sawed his own fingers off.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
That's what Prince Harry should have done.
He's Todger.
If that was me, I'd need one of those saws, you know, with a guy on each end.
Oh, my.
No, you need that. What about Dave Foster with the big axe?
Maybe five lumberjacks.
Oh, stop.
How did we end up here?
I don't know.
Well done, Wayne. Maddie's on the line. Maddie, what do you got, buddy?
The sentence, the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog, uses every letter in the English language.
What the fuck? No way. Is that true?
Yep, that's true.
F.
Yep.
Yep. Z.
What's F?
Quick brown fox.
Oh, okay. I thought that'd be pretty.
Quick.
Zed.
Lazy.
Okay, take the tone out of your voice.
Yep.
D.
Learned this in primary school.
Dog.
Yep.
B.
Brown.
Well, we could do this all day.
Yeah, we could. This might take a while.
All right, Maddie, hang about. You're in the running. Andrew's on the line. Andrew, what have you got for me?
Good morning. Yeah, the inventor of the frisbee, when he died, he was cremated by his family and turned into a frisbee.
What the And at the funeral was caught by the family dog.
And bitten and eaten.
Do you remember when the frisbee came out? I remember going, again, what's the point? We've got ice cream lids.
Yeah.
Remember back in the day, before you had a frisbee, you had an ice cream container, you take the lid off and you chuck it around the back garden. And then we're going, some pricks monetized this.
Yep.
Frisbee's
the frisbee was not necessary.
Yes, yeah, a bit more aerodynamic than a Peter's ice cream lid.
I'd beg to differ. Or in tougher neighbourhoods, the old hubcap.
Oh, yeah. Yes, though. Yeah, I'll boink.
Maddie gets 100 bucks today.
Yes.
Oh, Maddie, well done, Maddie.
For the quick brown fox. There you go, mate. Well done, all.
MG's Sport Report.
Let's get into it, MG. The season's only 2 weeks old, but I know Manly Warringah have already caught your eye.
They certainly have, Mickey. First round, they beat South Sydney, obviously in Vegas, 36-24. And yesterday, they toppled another premiership hopeful in the Roosters, 21-14. And the pleasing thing, I think, if you're a Manly fan yesterday, was that Tommy Turbo was very quiet. And yet, they still won pretty convincingly. It was their defence. Their defence against the Roosters, which was epic. Not since their halcyon days have we seen Manly such a juggernaut in defence. And something that will get them through, I think, at least till the top eight, maybe top four, and then who knows. But Luke Brooks has been a fantastic signing for them, and unlocking his talents has been a big thing for Manly. And just before we go on to something, you've got some breaking news on a tennis tournament. The Players' Championships leaderboard so far, that boy again, Scotty Scheffler, is currently in the lead at the Players' Championship. 20 under, he's currently on the back nine. Xavier Schauffele? And Brian Harman are tied for second, one spot behind them, 19 under, with Jason Day and Adam Scott and Min Woo Lee way out of contention. So
it's the fifth major.
Yes.
They say a TP Sawgrass, and I believe it's the 17 is the one where it all goes down. The par three, Island Green. You want to hold your nerve when you're pitching into that. There's trouble everywhere, and we can't mention it. You know I'm not a huge fan of the tennis circuit, but this is my favourite match of the year. At the Indian Wells, the game between Alcaraz and Zverev was called off because of bees. And while a swarm of bees forced a two-hour disruption to the quarterfinal. Well done, bees. I would have taken those bees. And released them just to get out of watching a game of tennis. Release the bees. I would have just thrown a hive onto center court.
Yeah, boom.
They're not the bravest people, are they? If a moth gets out there, they lose their minds. There's a moth on the court. Stop play. I need a medical timeout. Imagine bees.
Oh, 2 hours. That's a bit.
I had to get a bee vacuum cleaner out.
Is there such a thing?
Yeah, there's a bee vacuumer. Was summoned back to the court with a spray bottle and was cheered wildly by the crowd. Be cheering for the bees myself.
Yeah, go the bees.
Next, Jim Jefferies joins us for the rest of the show.
And the satellite is in place. It's hovering over LA. Here we go. We check in with friend of the show and giant Australian whose show is going bonkers right now. Even up against the juggernaut that is Maths, it's like number five or six on the night. And the only things in front of it are like news. It's got Maths and then like nightly news and a current affair and then this bloke. Hey, Jim Jefferies, you're going nuts.
It's just because I'm the lead-in for the greatest sports TV show on television, the front bar. Come on now.
It's all of a sudden, the kids have got something to watch on a Wednesday night, haven't they? On Channel 7, all of a sudden got young and hip, and there's a big option there.
I got told the 1% Club got on Gogglebox this week. That's a big step. Oh, you got so now I'm on 10 and on 7.
At the same time, more than likely. Now, we'll get back to the 1% Club in just a moment, but you've heard the news. MG, newly minted granddad, on the program. Congrats.
Congrats, mate. Well done. Are you looking forward to being a grandfather? You've already got the look down.
I have, Jimmy. I have. I have, and I am. I've been. I've watched a lot of my friends become grandparents. So I suppose now the biggest decision is, what do I want to be called from this grandkid? Is it going to be grandfather?
Out in Penrith, you must be the oldest grandfather out there, right?
I am by 20 years.
But that's a good point. What do you want to be? Are you pops? Are you papa? Are you granddad?
Poppy.
Papa.
Papa, what are you wearing Lederhausen? Are you singing the sound music?
That's what my wife said. That's what my wife.
Papa, come over here, Papa.
All of a sudden, he's the head of the Von Trapp family.
My wife said, if you want to be called that, imagine your grandson calling you that after school. He would be bashed for 5 or 6 weeks after it. Oh, you call your grandfather Papa? You're going to cop it, kids? No, not Papa. Maybe Poppy G would be good.
So your wife now is going to be a grandmother?
Yep.
That's fun. You'll get to have sex with a grandmother. That'll be something.
I've always wanted to.
Always wanted to. I can introduce you to a few. If mine was still alive, I'd set you up.
There's a lot going on. It's taken a turn. It started off as a bit of a heartwarming kind of chat about becoming a granddad, and now it's all about rooting 80-year-olds.
Yeah. Aren't you looking forward to being a grandfather? Because from what I saw with my grandparents and also like my wife's mother, and it's more enjoyable. It's having the children without the stress, and you get to give them back, and you get all the fun of kids without all the problems of children.
All that, but the fact is that my son, my oldest boy, who's having the bub with his beautiful partner, Paige, they kind of live in our granny flat, which is adjacent to my house. So,
right.
Because
it's got a granny flat, you and the wife should move out. Yeah. They should take over the house.
You know what?
That's the circle of life, mate.
It's probably the only time I'll get a bit.
Well, we look forward to monitoring this. Are you going to have a baby shower or something that we can enjoy? What do you say, you wet the baby's head? What's that?
You're going to have a gender reveal? You do them now 20 years?
Oh, they did it yesterday. They did. They kind of. We knew about a month ago that they were pregnant, but I think after a certain time, 13, 14 weeks is when they start to see whether it's a boy or girl. And yesterday they kind of did that just in front of a tree with the photo. So no gender reveals. It was just kind of that.
Well, my wife and me did a gender reveal for the last child, right? And my wife really wanted a daughter, desperately wanted a daughter. She had no interest in having a son. And so she found out what we were having, right? And it was during COVID, so I was meant to have a balloon filled with confetti and I was about to pop it. And she literally walks up to me and she goes, "Here's your bloody balloon." Like that. I wonder which one I'll be having. My gender reveal was the disappointed look on my wife's face was the gender reveal for me.
Because these go horribly wrong, right? This is a new, Darwinian way of getting rid of some of the stupider people in society. Like the guys do donuts and thinking his car blew up when he ran into his house. Some guy was crop dusting and he crashed into the side of a mountain. There's a whole manner of ways a gender reveal can get you.
He was actually crop dusting. He wasn't just walking into a room, farting and then leaving. Because that to me says, you're having a boy.
Yes, that
would be. Jeez, that'd be a great gender reveal, wouldn't it? You'd put some blue talcum powder down the Lululemons and just let rip, and it'd be a plume of
If I did it, I'd fart and they'd go, "Well, what gender's red?"
Hemorrhoids.
That was a hemorrhoid joke, folks.
You know what, Jimmy? I've got one at the moment, which is a killer. I've got one at the moment, which is rocking my soul.
I had one that popped at me kids' buddy baseball practice, and I didn't know. Like at least when you shit yourself, you get a bit of a smell warning where you know what's going on with your day. I come home, me pants like a Japanese flag. I had no idea. And it's not like I can walk up to the other dads and go, "Hey, you didn't mention it before, but I assume you saw." I just feel like to play off like no one's seen it.
So what are you doing? You're waddling around the playground trying to get attention.
It, 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 It wasn't until I got home. I went home. I was sitting on the toilet, pulled my pants down. I went, oh no.
I'm
and it
trouble.
Wasn't a little bit of blood. This thing had been bleeding all day. And I'm no good at baseball practice. So I can't. The other dads are there teaching the kids how to throw and catch. And I'm like an old bloke who I'll collect all the balls. Right? Yeah. So I walk around the outfield collecting all the balls. Because, you know, you've got to make yourself useful with me big blood stain on my pants. Oh, God.
Look at
this guy. Ruined a pair of lemons, you know. You can't be doing that.
Here he goes. Mate, I need to tell you something. So there's been a development. You know, you put me onto the Lululemons. Absolute game changer.
As I said, I don't want to take any money. If Lululemon tried to offer me money for promoting them, I'd say no. No, you've done enough for comfort. I won't take your money.
You know what we should do, though? There should be, like, in Fashion Week, like, the three of us should just be coming down a catwalk.
Oh,
and
I love it.
In nothing but the Lululemons. Yes. And if that doesn't get them out of their seats, I don't know what will. But listen to me. So the Lululemons have caused a dilemma because now I put it in my underderps drawer. They're up the Paris end. And I've got all the old boggy catches down the other end. But I only use them now for special occasions.
Yes,
so I'll work out what I'm doing that day. And if I'm going to the gym or I'm going to do something, I go, oh, no, that's not a Lululemon day. Playing golf, that's not a Lululemon. Oh, hang on. Going out for dinner at Francois.
Wow.
That's a Lululemon occasion, and they might just get a run. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but now you've got a dilemma, right? Because now if you go on a date with a woman, because you've said this live on radio, right?
Yes.
And she takes down your pants and she doesn't see the lemons.
She knows he's not special lemon worthy.
She'll see more than the lemons.
She'll know that she didn't meet the criteria for the
lemons. She'll see the whole fruit bowl if he pulls her pants down.
She'll burst into tears. She'll burst into tears and run, screaming for the... How'd it go with Mick? I don't want to talk about it. He didn't have the Lululemon.
Or she'll wipe her brow and go, woo!
Yeehaw!
Got away with that. Do you do just the basic lemons? Do you go... Because I do the black ones, and then my wife bought me a whole lot of patented ones.
I get the six-pack.
Orange ones with stripes.
Yeah, I get six packs.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, I go the long-legged ones.
Yeah, obviously, I go the long-legged one, but colour-wise, I go black because for obvious reasons.
Of course,
My days of white underwear are long gone. Yeah.
Long gone.
You know,
long gone.
Like if CSI got a pair of my underwear, they could pin me for any crime.
Get the luminol out. We've got a pair of
these are Jim
Jefferies Lululemons.
Oh, I didn't know this was a fluorescent pair. It's not.
What's that 20-cent piece of urine stain there? That looks interesting. Hey, Jim, we were talking the other day. There's a new survey out, and 8% of Americans think that they could beat a lion in a fist fight.
Yeah.
And it got us thinking, firstly, how stupid Americans are, but secondly, if you were going to have a fist fight with an animal, is there one that you'd pick out of the zoo that you...
Well, okay, first of all, if all things are fair and there's rules, you would beat it in a fist fight. You know, if it had to use fists as well...
Oh, of course.
...wearing a pair of trunks...
Yeah, technically,
I could beat it in a fist fight if it was playing by the rules. Because I'm not going to bite it, am I?
No,
I'm
that's
not going to bite the lion. And if the lion's going to step over the barrier and start biting me, I'll just time out. That's all American sports stop when someone does that T thing. We just stop sports.
Yeah,
I always love those old footage of kangaroos in the boxing tents.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
Where somebody said, give it a go. Because it's a trick, isn't it? All carnies have tricks. You know, the hoop's too small. You can't do anything. Kangaroo's an animal that will box and is a tripod. You can't knock over.
You can't knock it over.
With legs
on its tail.
You can't knock
over. That's right.
It'll be concussed standing up. You'll never be able to knock that thing over. Right?
Oh, I know.
I'm not going to pick a fight with a kangaroo, but I reckon I could give a platypus a good shellacking.
Oh yeah. Or a penguin.
If I just grabbed it around its little legs or held it by the tail and just punched it like a speed bag, right? I reckon I could
You're
going to
punch
me.
A platypus. You can't. It's an endangered species, mate.
It'll be even more endangered if it comes for me. Oh, buddy. I'll put two quokkas on me in my hands like coxing gloves, you know. They've never beat a better animal than the quokka. The quokka is the best animal going.
Rottnest Island. Yes.
You look at there, buddy. They've got no fear of humans, and they walk around. They're the only animal that takes selfies with people because it's got no fear of humans, right? But
no.
Bloody wonderful. And then they have quokka fences. You go into the supermarket, they have those little tiny like ones that just go up your shins. So that they don't just go into the shopping centre, into the pie shop on Rottnest Island and walk around. They're a bloody banger. Have you ever shown an American a quokka? I've done it a few times. Every time I've dated an American, I brought them back. I show them a quokka. They bloody love those things.
Hold that thought, Jim. We'll be back with more Jim Jefferies in just a moment.
Which animal in
the zoo would you fight? Hey, just quickly, before you answer that question, you were talking about the quokkas and Americans love them. In Victoria, of course, we have the Fairy Penguin Parade down at Phillip Island. Yeah. And I was speaking to one of the rangers. I was doing a fundraiser for the rangers. Do a great job, the rangers out there, the thin green line, we call them. And he told me this story. He was stationed down at Phillip Island, and he was doing the Fairy Penguin Parade. And he goes, because each day, you know, they come out of the water and then they go back into the water. And he got rung by an American, right? And he's on the beach. The American goes, "Hey man, we're running slightly late. Can you hold the parade? It's a show that starts." No, the penguins come and go as they have done throughout centuries.
Yes.
Of penguin parading. We can't just hold it for the Americans.
Hey man.
Do you know that the Hemsworth brothers, all three of them, used to live on Phillip Island, and they used to be the people who did the, "All right, when the sun goes down, I'll come.
Stop it.
Luke, Liam and Chris used to have that job, and they gave it to each other, right? Liam told me this once. Yeah, I had a meeting, a different thing. But anyway, they used to be the guys who did the fairy penguins. It was wetter on the beach than it was in the ocean.
Which animal are you going to fight? I said I'd sneak up. I'd coward punch a panda. Yeah. I reckon would be my
just a panda, just for being a picky eater. Because they've always bothered me, the pandas.
Bamboo, come on, mate.
And only one type of bamboo as well. And that's
so fussy.
They have sex with each other. Get into it, you fussy
bastard. Get into it.
Bastards.
Come on.
Mate, their window.
Everything's
their
not
win-
black and white, but it is.
2 days.
Their window is like a 2 days, and then that's all they've got. So you wouldn't want to be away with the boys, or you wouldn't want to mistime that, would you? Imagine you only got a route 2 days a year, and somehow your car broke down. Along with, "Oh, no, damn it, no.
Got to wait 363 days again." Wow.
Your mates drop in. Hey, now, we've got to go. It's always a pleasure, a wide-ranging conversation with you, but I want to mention the 1% Club going gangbusters on Wednesday night. It's a game changer.
I think I can also say that in April we're going to be recording a TV spot with some stand-up comedians, and I'm going to be in Melbourne to record that.
So here we go.
Look out for that. They'll be announcing that show soon. I think you can actually buy tickets, but they haven't announced it yet. But many great comics from around the world are going to be coming to Melbourne.
April. April, stand by. You're hosting. We'll announce it on the show.
I'm a terrible host, but I'll give it a go.
You're a great host,
You'll
mate.
be up and about, no doubt. Good on you, Jim Jefferies.
Jimmy.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it, guys.
Mick and MG in the morning, brought to you by Sportsbet. Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet.